For our scripture reading, let's look together at a favorite portion of the Word of God. Romans chapter 8. And we will begin our reading with verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the grand finale of the apostles' presentation to us of the marvelous gospel of the grace of God. A gospel of which he said, and rightly said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. As to the past, he says, there is therefore now, not in the future, now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. All my sins, so great, so many, in his blood have been forever washed away. No judgment now for me. That's all in the past. I sing because I'm free. Jesus bled, and he died on Calvary's cruel tree. The judge's voice I hear bidding me never fear. Judgment I have borne for thee. Now you go free. No condemnation as to the past. As to the present, no legislation. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh hath condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness which is of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't have law now. I have life. Once dead in trespasses and sins. But he that hath the Son hath the life. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, this chapter tells us, he is none of his. Free from the law, happy condition. Jesus hath bled. There is remission. How wonderful to know that the past has been forever settled. And the present has been taken care of because I have a new life in Christ. And as to the future, the apostle concludes this lovely chapter with the assurance that there is no separation. Nothing. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Charles Oxendine, he's been here. His mentor in the Christian faith was a man named Venus Brooks. A very godly man. He died in his 50s. He was visiting Charles out in the Midwest years ago, and he said, as they were driving along the car together, he said, "Charles, isn't it wonderful that when we were brought to Christ, we were brought into a relationship we can't even die out of. All earthly relationships end. The relationship with Christ bridges the gap between time and eternity." We know. It's a wonderful thing to be in the know. People say, "I think, I hope, I pray," but we know. We know. Years ago, my father was preaching somewhere, and after the meeting, some fellow came up to him and said, "The trouble with you Christians is you think you know it all." He says, "You got it wrong," my dad said. "We don't think we know it all. We know we know it all." The scripture says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. If you don't know Christ, you don't know anything. Because the Bible says in Him are in all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. American humorists used to say, most of the things we know ain't so anyway. People can speak with assurance about a lot of things, but we know. The wisdom of this world doesn't amount to anything as far as God is concerned. People boast about the degrees. Some people have enough degrees behind a name as long as the list of it, as long as the ears of a jackass, but that doesn't get you anywhere. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now it says we know that all things work together for good. It does not say that all things are good. Because we live in a world where there's all kinds of things that are wrong. There are things that are wrong in our lives. But we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. It doesn't say to everybody. To those that love God. And if you're a believer, I can tell you in the authority of God's word, you do love God. Because the Bible says, and it's true of every believer, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. If you're a believer, you love God. And not only do you love God, you love God's people. We're not saved because we love God's people, but we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. The way you make the trip is through faith in Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. That's the way you know. That's the way you make the trip. But the way you know you made the trip is you love the brethren. New commandment given unto you, the Lord Jesus said, you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know. You know and men know that you are my disciples because ye love one another. Not all things are good, but God is working all things together for good. Joseph's brethren didn't deserve a pat in the back, but a kick in the pants. Because they sold their own brother as a slave in Egypt. And I can see this 17-year-old boy in my mind. Don't sell me! I'm your own brother! Don't sell me! They steal their heart, sold him for 20 pieces of silver. The years tick by. These same brothers are standing in the presence of Joseph. He's the second in command in Egypt now. And Joseph said, "You don't deserve a pat on the back. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good and sent me before you to preserve life." The worst crime that has ever been committed in Earth's history was committed over 1900 years ago when the chief priests and elders behind the scenes were responsible for crucifying the Son of God on a cross. "You've taken him by wicked hands and have crucified him," Peter said. No congratulations to them. But God used that very thing. And on the basis of man's wickedness, his grace did much more. But where is sin abounded? Grace did much more about. And I believe it's true that in every one of our lives, if we can analyze them, we would discover that some of the worst things that ever happened to us were really the best things. "It was good," the psalmist said, "that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray." There was an interesting story he told some years ago. It was in Reader's Digest. It was written by a man named Somerset Maugham, novelist. And it was written in pounds, shilling, and pence, so I'm going to roughly translate what he said into dollars. He said there was a man who served as a janitor in a church over in England. And a new vicar, or the new pastor, he arrives on the scene and he said, "I've been looking over the records here and it says, it seems to me that you don't know how to read or write. Is that right?" "Said, that's correct. I don't know how to read or write." "Well," he said, "you know, there may be an emergency arise sometime. It would be very important for you to know how to read or write. Read and write. So I'm going to have to dismiss you." He said, "We'll give you some pay." He said, "Don't fire me. Don't let me go. I've been working here for 20 years. I've got a wife and 4 children." "Well," he said, I realize that and feel sorry about it, but we need somebody on the job that knows how to read or write." So he fired the man. The man was walking away from the church and he sees an empty building. He said, "You know, I really believe if I started a certain business in that location, that I could make a go of it and support my family." And he opened that store, and pretty soon he had 4 or 5 similar stores scattered around London. And one day he's in the bank, and the banker says, "I've been looking over your checking account." He says, "You've got $100,000 there." He says, "You don't need that much money to operate your business." He said, "You should take some of that money and put it in a trust account." "Well," he says, "how do I do that?" "Well," he said, "you pull out a piece of paper. You just sign this paper and authorize me to transfer the money." And he says, "I'll take care of the rest." And the fellow said, "I don't know how to read or write." The banker leaned back in his chair and he said, "No, this is something. Here's a man who's got 5 businesses scattered around London. He's got all his money lying around here. And he doesn't know how to read or write." He said, "Where would you be today if you didn't know how to read or write?" He says, "I'd be the janitor back at the church." And you know, sometimes the worst things that happen to us are the best things. Fanny Crosby was blinded as a young girl because of the carelessness of a doctor, and they ran that doctor out of town. She wrote over 8,000 hymns, hymns like "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine," "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine," another hymn. Many years later, Someone asked Fanny Crosby, he said, what would you do if you saw the man today that was responsible for your blindness? And she said, I'd thank him. You know, God uses the very things that are against us to work for us. We'll bless the hand that guided. We'll bless the heart that planned when throne where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. With mercy and with judgment my web of time he wove, but oh, the dews of sorrow were lustered with his love. When we look over our lives with all of their failures and disappointments, we'll thank God in a future day. I often think of my dad. He was a one-eyed preacher, really. He lost the eyesight in one of his eyes just as a young boy. He only had one good eye. And shortly after he went out in the Lord's work, the doctor told him he was going to lose the sight in that eye, so he was then blind. You know, fear is a wonderful motivator. And because he feared he was going to lose his eyesight, he said, I better get busy. And he started memorizing the scriptures. He memorized the New Testament. It took him 11 years to do it, 10 verses at a time. He reviewed them and reviewed them and reviewed them. And he was like a walking New Testament. It was the biggest blessing of his life. The fear of losing his life. I remember him saying to me one day, when I think of all of the books that I've read, of all the time I've spent in reading the scriptures and meditating on it through the use of that one eye. You see, God can take the very things that are against us and he uses them to work for us. There are five golden links here in this passage. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's God's ultimate purpose. Someday we're going to be like him. He's not going to rest until his job is accomplished. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And he hasn't glorified anyone yet. But God can speak of things that are not as though they were. But no flesh should glory in his presence. That's not going to fail one word of all his good promise. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promises, yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Things future nor things that are now, not all things below or above can make him his purpose for gold or sever my soul from his love. My name from the palms of his hands eternity will not erase. Impressed in his heart they remain in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure as sure as the promises giveth. More happy, but not more secure, the souls of the blessed in heaven. What shall we then say to these things if God be for us? How can we doubt these for us? He spared not his own son. He spared not his own son, but gave him freely for us all. And how shall not with him, not without him? God doesn't have anything for you if you don't have Christ. You're an absolute pauper. You never will have anything as far as God is concerned. Because you don't have Christ. But with him, freely, give us all things. All that God has, he has for you and me. We are the richest people in the universe. This chapter closes with three questions. One as to the past, one as to the present, and one as to the future. And the questions all begin with who? Well, that could be related different ways, I suppose, but I think of it sometimes as perhaps the devil. Question. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's tried for almost 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus was here on earth to accuse the brethren. But he hasn't got very far. Way back in the first book that's written in the Bible, the book of Job, God addresses Satan and says, "Have you considered my servant Job? Not a man like him in all the earth. Man that feareth God and escheweth evil. Nobody like him." Satan says, "Yes, I've been looking him over pretty good. I've taken a good look at him, but, you know, no wonder. No wonder he loved you. No wonder he trusts you. Says you've put a fence about everything that he's got. And you've blessed all his substance. You've been his protector and you've been his provider. Who wouldn't love him?" But you know, the wonderful thing is that what Satan said is exactly what God says. Genesis 15, he says exactly the same thing. He says, "Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield. I'm your protector. And I'm your provider. I'm your shield and I'm your exceeding great reward." And what was true of Abraham is true of all of Abraham's children. For all of our faith are children of Abraham. And God is our protector. And God is our provider. And absolutely nothing can come into your life or mine without the blessed will of God. There are many things I don't understand. But I can know because God says so. I can't know by experience. I look around me and there are many things I just don't understand. They baffle my mind. But I know that God works all things together for good to those who love Him. I know it. That's not superstition. Because this is God's Word. And forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. I was visiting shortly before our brother Bill Hine went to be with the Lord. I was visiting, and when I was up in Grand Rapids visiting our daughter and son-in-law and family that live up there. His wife hadn't spoken anything to him for about 6 or 7 years. She's got Alzheimer's. She passed away before he did, but she was living then. And he said, "You know, God's ways are past finding out." Well, if they're past finding out, how can you find them out? Past finding out. God's ways are past finding out. But he said, "For those that trust him, he gives his peace that passeth all understanding." When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Fear not. I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God, and I'll still give thee aid. I'll comfort thee. I'll strengthen thee. I'll help thee. I'll cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hebrews, it says, he has said, what has he said? I will never leave thee. Oh, fellow believer, isn't that wonderful? God says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Why has he said it? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. In the Psalms, it uses that expression several times over. He is their help and their shield. He is their help and their shield. He is their help and their shield. He is the provider and protector of his people. And we have God for our provider and our protection. What more do we need? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. What though the accuser roar of ills that I've done? I know them all and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Though the enemy accuses sins recounting like blood, every charge our God refuses, Christ has answered with his blood. The scripture says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're justified by his blood. That's the price that was paid. And we know that we're justified because we believe what God says. Being justified by faith. The scripture says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that hymn, complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, sanctified, set apart for God, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. It is God. It is God that justifies. Well, what about the present? Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is also at the right hand of God and maketh intercession for us. We have one at God's right hand who pleads our case. We've got an attorney for the defense. And the scripture says, if any man sin, we have an advocate. He's there. One to plead our case. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He doesn't say, he really didn't sin. It really wasn't that. No, he doesn't say that at all. You see, our case, we're guilty of sin. No question about it. But the thing is, we have a lawyer, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he just said, Father, I paid for that. Jesus paid it all. All through my own sin. That left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And the apostle says he is able. Not I'm able. He is able. He is able to save to the very end, to the uttermost, all that come unto God. Not some, but all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I am profoundly thankful, because I'm not, my brother was speaking about prayer the other morning, and I felt convicted by that. Because I don't pray as I ought. I know that. And I'm ashamed of it. But I bless God that there's one that prays for me. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee to eat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And I'm grateful to God that the faith that I've been pardoned by the Spirit of God is being maintained by the Lord Jesus, who pleads my case. Who saved us from eternal loss? Who but God's Son upon the cross? What did he do? He died for you. Where is he now? Believe it thou in heaven, interceded. He is at God's right hand. And while I do not pray as I ought, I praise God that he prays. And I'm being maintained by the prayers of one at God's right hand. Well, what about the future? Ah, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. But what could a sword do for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Ah, the scripture says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Christian is in a win-win position. If he lives, he wins. And if he dies for Christ's sake, he wins. The Apostle Paul says to depart and to be with Christ is far better. No separation. All the things that the devil might raise against the people of God, it says we're more than conquerors. You know, conquerors, finally, they get conquered. William the Conqueror long did reign, but William the Conqueror isn't around anymore. Or any of the other conquerors that have ever lived. But the believer, we're more than conquerors. Because even the defeats killed all the day long are really victories. And the believer can stand in the presence of death and say, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. From sin, the world, and Satan, we're ransomed by his blood. Death and judgment are behind us. For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. It has been said the blood of the martyrs has been the seed of the church, and God has used the very supposed defeats of God's people as the basis for the advancement of his cause here on earth. For thy sake, we're killed all the way long. God never promised the believer he would have an easy life. It is given unto you in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. The Apostle Peter, he writes in the last chapter of 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, the God of all grace has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after that ye have suffered a while. God has not given us an easy life, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Many years ago, trying to think of her name now, but this lady, she was a single lady in Nassau, lived way up in her 80s in the 90s. Anyway, her parents, can't think of the name at the moment, but her parents entertained Charles Holder when he first came to the Bahamas. Stayed in their home in Nassau. And she said one day Mr. Holder was downtown in Nassau and preaching in the open air, preaching the gospel. And an Anglican minister went by, you know, that's the ones that have the collar, you know, that, you know how they have the collars, front. And, he said, pardon me, sir. Said to Mr. Holder, who's preaching, pardon me, sir, of what persuasion are you? And Mr. Holder said, I am of St. Paul's persuasion. I know whom I believe, and I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded. And here he says the same thing. I am persuaded. I'm absolute convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Blessed be his name. As to the past, no condemnation, no judgment now for me. Every believer can say that. So the fact. As to the present, no legislation. Law of the Spirit of life. I have the life of Christ. And God the Holy Spirit is making Christ real in your life and mine. He that hath the Son hath the life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not. If you receive him, you have life. No legislation. And blessed be his name. No separation. Every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ are looking forward to the day when we're going to be with and like our Savior. May God help us this day. In this life, who honored him, loved us, and gave himself for us. It's not, I don't think, in our regular hymn book, but we all know it. I'd like us to sing that hymn, Glory to God on High. Peace upon earth and joy, goodwill to man. I don't think that's in the hymn book, is it? I don't think so, is it? Okay. We could sing an a cappella, couldn't we?
Sure.
Glory to God on high, peace upon earth and joy, goodwill to man. Sing through his name all names above. Sing now the Savior's love to pass to send. Love that knows our enemies, love that knows our enemies, so long like his. Oh, it's his blessed source. Blessed God, our Father, what can we say then to these things? Since thou art for us, how blessedly true this is. We rejoice in thy great salvation. We bless thee, we praise thee. Our God, we pray something of the wonder of thy great salvation may grip our hearts today and in the days ahead. We're thankful for the privilege of being here and looking afresh at these wonderful truths recorded in thy word. We pray that thou wouldst part us from this meeting and bless the food and the fellowship that we shall share shortly. We're thankful for the kindness of thy people here in providing this conference, enabling us to share in the blessing. And we pray, our God, that each of us may go from this place refreshed in spirit with each desire to yield our lives unreservedly to thee. That our prayer may be that the life of the Lord Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal lives. For we ask it in his name, for his sake. Amen.